His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz. His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by Brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag.
The ring. Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this. Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America. But when did America ever bless God? You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit and rap for power? You some bitches get out and get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
Black power, black power, black power, black power to my people. Here in the hills of North America, this is your brother. I'm going to say it again. This is your brother, your comrade in arms, Sean Kwali, broadcasting live to you from the hills and the smells and the pits of North America. We want to thank you once again for tuning in with us and being a part of the most revolutionary, hard-hitting, no holds barred, no compromise, straight no chaser, right to the point radio show anywhere to be found in the land. Of course, we're talking about Black Power Radio. And as always, it's my esteemed honor and privilege and pleasure to represent to you as a member of the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. As always, I always give a shout-out to the study groups and to the chapters that are listening live on the webcast. We say black power to you and to those who have just begun to study under our 10-point platform and our 9 local objectives. We say black power to you. To those of you who have not yet joined on with the vanguard, with the people's champions, with the movement that is designated and designed to build and produce liberation and salvation for black people, you email us at nbpphq@yahoo.com, nbpphq@yahoo.com. If you are tired of the conditions that are going on in your neighborhoods, tired of the conditions that are going on in your community, tired of the conditions that are going on in your own personal life, then we have to do what we have never done as a people, and that is to unite one with the other. That is to organize one with the other. That is to join forces, lock horns, be true and genuine brothers and sisters, and do what it is that the almighty, wise, true, and living God has ordered for us to do as members of humanity and this society that we call the Black Nation. Now, look, we are excited tonight because, of course, now we opened up the lines for our national chairman, the attorney at war, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz. And this is the third and final installment in a 3-part series that this general felt it necessary to share with his people. And I just want to say that it's not every day. I want to say it like this, that we should really be thankful and really give a salute to the national chairman for opening himself up for 3 straight nights, 3 straight shows, and really pouring his heart out, putting himself on a platter and presenting himself to the black nation. It's not every day that you can hear from a man of his caliber, a man of his stature, a person who is world known and world traveled like he is, that you and me can just call him up and talk to him in the manner that we're talking tonight. Even those of us in other organizations, a lot of times it's not that easy to contact the figureheads or the people in charge and just ask them specific questions that you have on your mind. But here in the new Black Panther Party, we have a general and a leader and a brother who is willing to open himself up to the black nation to be questioned. And even if it's a question or a area that you don't necessarily, or we don't, he may not necessarily share the same opinion with you, he's willing to talk to you about it. He's willing to break bread with you over these airwaves and talk about what in the world is going on. And so we look forward to hearing from our national chairman tonight. And I just want to say before he comes on that it is a beautiful time to be a revolutionary. It is a beautiful time in the world to be a freedom fighter. It is a beautiful time to be an informational guerrilla. It is a beautiful time now to fight for a land of your own, to fight for freedom, to fight for independence, to fight for self-determination. It is the best and most righteous time now to fight for Kuji Chagalia. It is the right time now. Why do I say that? I say that because right now everybody's dissatisfied. Everybody's dissatisfied with what's going on in the world. People are upset now, more so than at any time in the world, with the white power structure and the way that things are shaping up and shaping out here in the hells and smells of North America. They are upset now at the way things are shaping up and shipping out all over the world, in the Caribbean, in the mother country in Africa, even across to China and across to Europe. They're upset now. And so now, if you are really on the square, as they say, and you are really ready for that real change right now, now is the time that we get busy. Now is the time. It was the last lecture that the Black Power General, Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, the last lecture that he gave in the physical form on this planet, his very last address that he gave in the physical form to the black nation and to the members of the new Black Panther Party as well, he said, enough Negro stuff. He say, enough Negro stuff. And I know that a lot of times, you know, we like to take that and use it in terms of when foolishness is going on. But I would say that we would be wise and do well to apply that to the revolution right now. We would be wise to apply that to what our condition is. We would be wise to apply that to our social and our economic and our political and our moral and our spiritual conditions right now in America. Enough Negro stuff. A Negro waits for a pie in the sky to get free. A Negro follows the traditions and follows the culture that has been handed to him or her for the past 400 years. A Negro is one who, even though all the signs show that it's not all good in North America, that it's not okay, that America, as she sits right now, can't even support her own white members, let alone support the black man and black woman. And so even though all the signs say that you must separate, that you must do for self, that we must build a nation of our own, even though all the signs say that, a Negro says there is still some hope in this system. There is still some hope in the white man's order. There is still some hope in this reality. That's what a Negro says. A revolutionary would say that we need complete constructive change, that we must overthrow the Negro in our brains, that we must overthrow the devil and the shaitan in our brains, and also the devil and the shaitan that is in physical power today. A revolutionary says that if the educational system of this world will not teach us the correct root knowledge of what we should be learning, that we would set up liberation schools and freedom schools or even Panther schools to teach our people that which we should teach our people. A revolutionary would say that even though I see that the economic is falling, that the dollar is falling, that the dollar now really for the most part has no real value anymore, now I must have some type of trade for myself. I must enter now into international trade. How come the black man and black woman is not talking more about international trade? Why are we not talking more about taking the land, taking the resource? Why are we not talking more about taking the minerals and the fertile rich land that is all across the globe and taking it for ourselves and our future generation? You can build a whole lot of businesses. You can build a whole lot of buildings. You can do that until you're blue in the face. But the one thing that will not be reproduced in this world is more land. That land will stay the same. And so everything that, you know, man really fights for in this world and woman fights for in this world, we fight for the control of the land. And so why are we not talking about controlling the land? Why are we not talking about buying up the dilapidated houses that are in our community all throughout North America? Why are we not talking about investing in the housing that is down? Why are we not talking this kind of talk? It is because many of us, not all, but many of us are still wrapped up in the white man's world. We still believe on this day that Martin Luther King's dream is real. We still believe that one day, and this is no disrespect to Dr. Martin Luther King, but we got to be critical. We still believe, no matter what, that we can still one day hold hands with little white boys and little white girls, and that we can, you know, integrate into a burning house. And that when we go to do for ourselves and we push for reparations amongst ourselves and we push for self-determination, that the white folks will go along with us. Many of us believe this. We believe that one day the white man and the white woman will all of a sudden have a change of heart. They will have a change of character. They will have a change of pace, and they will let up off of the black man and black woman's neck. I'm here to say to you, brother and sister, the white man is not going to let up off of your neck. The white man will not have a change of heart. The white power structure is not designed for the black man and black woman to succeed. This is only you if you don't understand what the hell is going on. If you feel like the white power structure after the 6,000-year Holocaust that our people have experienced, if you feel like the white power structure will all of a sudden change to cater to the needs of the black man and the black woman, you have lost your mind. And I mean, in a real sense, you are literally out of your mind. If it has not changed in 6,000 years, if it had not changed in 6,000 years, what in the world makes you believe that all of a sudden when you wake up by God's grace tomorrow, that the system will change tomorrow and be in the favor of the black man and the black woman? I just want you to think about this as we wait for the national chairman. What makes you believe that all of a sudden now, white folks' hearts is just opened up to you after their ancestors have robbed us of our names, our language, our culture, and our religion, and their people still to this very day benefit from the works of their ancestors? To this very day, white folks are experiencing white privilege because of the works of their forefathers and their foremothers, because of Jim Crow, because of the black code, as they call it, because of the lynchings and the robbings and the hangings and the murder that has happened to our people. What makes you believe, as a thinking man and a thinking woman, that all of a sudden now, because we have gone through the processes of integration, that now all of a sudden the white man is interested in sharing the power with his and her one slave, the black man and the black woman? I got to talk about it. We got to talk power. See, a lot of you all get timid when we say black power. Some of you really get timid when we come on and say black power. We in your venue, we in your religious setting, and we say black power. Many people really do get scared, but we are absolutely 100, if not 200% righteous and right for calling for black power. You better be glad right now that all you get right now is us saying black power, if we there saying black power, because there's a lot more that we're doing, you know, in order to make black power real for those that are afraid of black power. But for our people, you have no reason to fear black power. Black power only means to define and to develop and to defend that which is in the best interest of black people. To define, develop, and defend that which is in the best interest of black people. If you are of African descent and you are a black man and black woman in the hills of North America, or you're a black man and black woman in the Caribbean, or you're a black man or black woman in Canada, or you're a black man and black woman in the Isles of the Pacific, or wherever you are right to call for black power. You are right to scream and yell black power. You are right to live and request for black power. You have to have black power. If we don't have black power, then you automatically have to deal with white power. If you do not push for black power, then you automatically have to deal with white power. Now, what is white power? White power is not to define, develop, and defend that which is in the interest of white people. It is what you have in the world today. It is starvation. It is murder. It is slaughter. It is brutality. It is imperialism. It is capitalism. It is gentrification. It is Jim Crow. It is all of the things that we have suffered here for over 500 years. That is what white power is. White power has constantly robbed us of our names, robbed us of our language, robbed us of our culture, robbed us of our minds, robbed us of the power of our own being. White power has destroyed the very fabric and the very history by which you and I were able to gain a sense of our own being. It is white power that has destroyed us and lynched us and robbed us and broke us in half as a people. White power did this to us. And so today, even now, today, as we sit in 2010 and we put our hopes in an electoral system, and we put our hopes into the electoral college, and we put our hopes into the Congress and all of this, right now, no matter if it's a white face or a black face, right now you are witnessing the effects of the white power structure. You are witnessing the effects of white supremacy. I don't care if it's, I'm going to say it again, I don't care if it's a white face or a black face. You hear us all the time talk about the cracker, and we call the white man a cracker. I have to put some weight on it. That hell, there are black crackers too. In fact, about it, the term cracker comes from a term in slavery that comes from the cat of nine tails, when the white man would whip the slave over the back, and that whip would crack over the black man and black woman's back, and they begin to say, "The cracker man is coming, the cracker man is coming." And what the white slave master did, which was so brutal, he would put the whip in the hands of an old Uncle Tom, where he put the whip in the hands of old black man that was scared of the brutality that his or her people were facing, and he would tell that black man or that black woman to crack the whip over his own people. And so today, you see the same thing going on. You see black men and black women cracking the whip over their own people. You see black people being more brutal in some cases over their people and over the lives of their people than even the white man in some cases. Because now, through systematic and automatic remote control, now we are doing in many cases the work of the white man on our own selves. It is because the white man, brothers and sisters, has set up shop in our brains, set up shop in our minds. The slave master system and the effects of slavery have now set shop in our own subconscious. And so when we talk revolution, we're not just talking about complete constructive change on a physical level. We are definitely interested in definitely talking about complete constructive change on a physical level. But when we talk complete constructive change, we're talking also about overthrowing the domination of the devil in the black mind. Anytime you have a people who put their hope in a pale-faced, blue-eyed, buttermilk-complected individual of whatever name, more than they put that hope in their own selves, you know that individual has to have their minds overthrown. We are the only people in the world who do not look to ourselves for our own freedom. We are the only people in the world who look to every other source in the world for relief except to ourselves. And now we are the only people in the world who give up on our people the way that we give up on ourselves. We give up now even on our own youth. I ask our elders this: how can we, as so-called conscious brothers and sisters, how can we, as revolutionaries, how can we, as black brothers and sisters, African brothers and sisters, Asiatic brothers and sisters, Morris, whatever, brothers and sisters, whatever title, how can we give up on the future of our people and the future of our generations when all we have is the future of our generations? How can we do it? I just want to throw that out. Let's take a quick call. 502-742. You're on the air with Black Power Radio. Your question or comment before our national chairman, Black Power.
Black Power, brother.
Hey, what's going on with you, Black?
Yes, I was just wanted to say, man, that everything that you were saying is right as far as, you know, that this white power structure, and we got to wake up and understand what time it is, because if the black man don't wake up and we don't understand, then you know, then that gives the opportunities for the cracker to keep playing these tricks and these games on our minds. So I just wanted to say that to us, we got to wake up and get up and stand up for what's right and organize.
Hey, you talking some real talk there, brother. I mean, why do you think it is that our people have given up on the youth and given up on their own liberation? Why do you think it is that we put hope in everybody else but ourselves?
It's because we gave up on ourselves. And when we gave up on ourselves, you know, we just let people do whatever we want, you know, whatever they want to do to us. And this is one thing that I see, that nobody's going to respect our community until we able to respect ourselves. And if we don't respect ourselves, then the white man's going to be like, these niggas don't even respect themselves. They kill each other. They disrespect each other. We call our women out of our names. And we got to learn how to start respecting ourselves and building things and cleaning up our own community and stop waiting on somebody to do it for us and get our asses up and do it, you know, ourselves.
Man, you talking the right kind of talk, brother. You must got some of that Panther blood in you.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Well, I appreciate your call, brother. Appreciate your call, and keep listening. Everything that brother just said is actual fact and right on point. We have given up on ourselves. And the thing is now, check this out. The thing is now is that for those of us that say we are conscious, for those of us that say we are awake, for those of us that say that we are moving and grooving, we are going to have to find the key and the tool to have a bigger influence on our youth and on our people than those who are walking around dead. You are going to have to find a way, and we got to find a way to have a bigger influence on our people than what the hell the TV does or what the radio does or what, you know, whatever's going on in the streets. If we will not grab the youth, if we will not grab our people, then they will get swallowed up by the streets. I mean, we've seen it too many times before. If we will not influence our babies and won't influence our people, then they will be swallowed up by the streets. If they ain't swallowed up by the streets, then they're going to be praying to have a freedom somewhere in the sky that they cannot enjoy right now on the ground. That's why the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad used to always teach us, and he used to always say that we want something sound on the ground while we are still around. I'm going to say it again. Something sound on the ground while we are still around. Reverend, stop sending your congregation's mind to the sky. Imam, stop sending your mosque mind to the sky. Anybody, stop sending your mind to the sky. There is nothing in the sky that you can enjoy that you will not enjoy right now if we would organize for complete constructive change. Everything that they say that you're supposed to have in the sky, people enjoy right now on the ground. They say they want a land of milk and honey. They say they want streets paved with gold. They say they want pillars with gold and this, that, and the other. All of that, brother and sister, is physical things. All of that is things that we are supposed to be enjoying right now. Hell, the land of milk and honey and the land paved with gold. Hell, the white man didn't go to the sky. They went right over there to the mother country and tried to settle their little selves right over there in our land. And they found their milk and honey and the gold and everything else, silver and beryllium and all that right there in Africa. They didn't go to no daggone sky. They gave that to you and I. They gave that to us because they knew that while we were busy looking in the sky to have a freedom that we're supposed to enjoy, they would enjoy it right now on the ground. The white man already knows they're not going to live forever. They already know. They come into the world talking death because they know they're not going to live forever. They already know. They have the only system of thought in the world that encompasses death. I'm going to say it again. The white man has the only system, the religious system, that encompasses death. In Kemetic spirituality or African spirituality, we do not talk about death. We don't talk like the way the white man talks about death. Our people, we say that y'all have in the Bible, we say we Alpha and Omega. We the beginning and the end, the start and the finish. We don't talk about our people as though our people went somewhere in the sky and they went away somewhere. Our people, man, have been here for untold centuries. Our people predate Bible. Oh, yeah, I'm going to say that again. Our people predate Bible. Our people predate Quran. Our people predate all the texts. Hell, you wouldn't have none of the texts, none of the religious texts that we use if it was not for the black man and the black woman. They asked us today on a show, they asked us, myself and Sister Fasami, how come, this was a white man that asked us, how come the educational system is so messed up? And we stepped up and straight up said the reason why the educational system is messed up is because you do not honor your mother and your father. You do not go to the root. You deal on branch knowledge. You don't deal with root knowledge. If the white man would deal with root knowledge, they would automatically have to go to your and my mothers and fathers. They would automatically have to go back to the walls of Kemet. They would automatically have to go back to the halls of Timbuktu. They would automatically have to go back to the mystery systems and all of that that we had as an establishment. They'd have to go there. They have to go there. They would have to go there. They would have to go back to the black man and to the black woman. They would have to go there. They would have to go there. They would have to go back to the original, the root of it. They would have to go, and that's why we said that the white man would have to go back to the root. They do not honor the root of education. They do not honor the root of mathematics. They do not honor the start of it all. And so here's what we're saying, is that as long as you don't honor the root of education, the root of mathematics, as long as you don't honor the root of science, culture, health, as long as you don't honor us, then you will never have correct teaching. You will never have correct guidance. Your world will never be ran with peace and harmony and reciprocity because you do not order your world by the laws of Maat. You do not order your world by the laws of righteousness. You do not order your world by the order of peace and justice and freedom and equality. You order your world by chaos, brutality, murder, and savagery. And so, hell, we got to tell it like it is. You don't honor the people that started it all. I got to call it like it is. You don't honor us. And so, hell, for that very reason, that is why, as we said in a previous show, Sister Fasami said, that is why the sun attacks you. If you must know, that is why the water attacks you. That is why the atmosphere attacks you. That is why everything that is natural on this planet attacks the white man. It attacks you because you are unnatural. You are a grafted being. You are an unnatural being. You are a being opposite of everything that is right and exact in this world. And so, hell, you think you got away. You think you really got away. And I know y'all listening, white man and white woman. So you think you got away. You think that you really getting away with everything that you've done to black people. But I'm here to tell you that you ain't got away at all. You ain't got away not one iota because everything in the world is attacking you. Hell, they got mad a few years ago when one of those lions went and attacked one of those lion trainers. I forgot the name of it, but Chris Rock said the lion didn't go crazy. The lion went lion. Hell, that lion got tired. The lion got damn tired of being in cage and enslaved, and the lion attacked some of them crackers. And hell, the lion got more sense than some of us. Why is it that we not attacking now? Why not? Why not attack now? I'm just trying to say it like it is. Why not attack now? And I mean attack on all kind of levels. We ain't just talking on a myopic view. We're talking on all kind of levels. Why not attack? Why we always got to be on the offensive? Why we got to be the ones probably that's on the defensive? Why we got to be the ones that's always answering the questions and on the fence? Why we got to do that when we are the ones who are the victims? Black men, black women, we are the victims. And so I just got to say it like it is. You know, these white folks, they're trying to call in and cause mischief. And I'm just telling y'all, we smell y'all a mile away. Y'all, listen, I don't have no pork on my fork. I don't like bacon or nothing like that. I don't like none of that. And I smell you a mile away. You smell like fire from the pits of hell. And I mean a real hell on top of this ground. You are straight up the Satan himself that we've read about. We have nothing to say to you. Get your own show. You know what I mean? And you can talk whatever you want to talk about. But I'm telling you straight up, look, this is Black Power Radio for black people. We have nothing to say to you. We have no reason to explain. All you got to do is listen and sit back and shut the hell up. Why do you want to call in? It is because your nature, your devilish nature, makes you want to call in and cause confusion. You can't leave black people alone. You can't leave black people alone. You have to mess with us. You have to cause devilishment because you were made to cause devilishment. And so you call in to Black Power Radio to cause confusion, cause problems, to try to drop some little sly remark, and you think that you really slick. Let me tell you something. You only have 6 ounces of brain in your head, and the black man and black woman are rolling with 7 1/2 ounce of brain in our heads right now. You're not smarter than us. You're not quicker than us. You're not slicker than us. We see you coming a mile away. And you're mad now because you recognize that the black man and woman is waking up and that we don't love you anymore. We're not in love with you. We're not deaf, dumb, and blind to you anymore. And so why should we waste time with you unless you're talking about the freedom and justice and equality of our people? We're not. We have no reason. Unless you're talking about redistribution of the wealth, unless you're talking about turning over the land and getting the hell out the way, unless you're talking about, as I said earlier, giving us some John Brown action and taking out those who of your people who oppressed our people, we have nothing to say to you, and you are wasting your time trying to cause confusion on Black Power Radio. And I just want to say this. I want to say that if the chairman, for some reason, cannot make it tonight, I don't know what's going on with him. Hopefully he'll get on. But if he can't, we still go give our tribute to the general, George Jackson. If he can't make it, hopefully he can make it. We're waiting on him now. But if he can't make it, we still going to give our tribute to General George Jackson. We're going to give our tribute. We called it Blood in My Eyes. And I said that, and I gave that title because the General George Jackson, man, is somebody who, you know, he's not talked about in the manner that he should be talked about. General George Jackson, the field marshal of the Black Panther Party, the start of the BGF, the Black Guerrilla Family. This is a brother, man, who was a straight-up soldier, and he was incarcerated since a young man. We had to talk about General George, because General George is an example of what our young brothers and sisters who are in the concentration camps, locked down, and those even on the streets can be and will be more of and better than. And so what I'm saying is this, is that there is no separation. That, you know, the propaganda wants to run now that you know, y'all are trying to pit the Panthers of the 1960s against the new Black Panther Party. Let me tell you something. You have lost your damn mind with that. There would be no new Black Panther Party without the sacrifice of a man like General George Jackson, or the sacrifice of a man like Minister Huey P. Newton, or a man like Chairman Bobby Seale, or Elaine Brown, or Erica Huggins, or Angela Davis, or any of them. There would be no new Black Panther Party, because they did what they did, and they established much of what they established through sacrifice, through blood, through sweat, through tears. And so anytime, I don't give a damn what nobody say, anytime we talk about the Panthers of the 1960s or the Panthers of Lowndes County, Alabama, you will hear nothing but honor and tribute from us, because we know where the Panther comes from in that formation. The Panthers, the people. But I got to say it like this. We can't do everything the same way that they did it in the 1960s. Hell, in the 1960s, TV didn't even stay on 24 hours a day. Now you got TV on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You got radio on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You got all kind of channels, Playboy channel, this kind of channel, that kind of channel. You got all kind of stuff going on that they did not have in the 1960s. And so we have a different dynamic today that was unseen by the Panthers of the 1960s. They didn't have the internet capabilities that we have today. They were unable to talk to you through the medium of Black Power Radio the way that we're talking to you today. And so we can't do everything the same exact way that our brothers and our sisters did everything in the 1960s. We have to bring everything up to the modern times. We have to bring what we do in terms of the 10-point platform established by Bobby Seale and Huey P. Newton and those brothers and sisters. We have to bring all of that up to 2010. That's not to say that what they did and the sacrifice that they did and the lessons they taught can't be used and learned from today. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying it has to be brought up to date. And so the new Black Panther Party, we are dedicated to bringing the best of the Black Panther Party to the streets in the hills of North America. We are dedicated to doing that, the work that Huey P. Newton and Bobby Seale and the others did in the 60s, just in 2010. As you heard our national chairman say a few shows ago, he said, man, we are not playing with this anymore. If we was playing with it, we not playing with it any damn more with this legacy, man. We ain't playing with it. That's why we bringing it straight to your face. We ain't ducking it. We ain't going to duck the programs, none of that. We want programs in every single city in North America. If the people don't have shoes, we want shoes on the people's feet. If they don't have clothes, we want clothes on the people's backs. If they don't have decent housing, we want our people before anybody first to be in a decent house. We want our people to have free health care, preventative and maintenance. And don't tell us it can't be done. It's being done all over the planet. We want our people to have health care. Why do our people have to pay such outrageous prices for health care and to get medical treatment when all we're doing is fattening the pockets of those who have private interest and who have exchange on stock in health care? Why do we have to fatten their pockets just to treat little illnesses? We want free health care for our people whose forefathers and foremothers have built this country for free. That man, you got to say black power. That's a definite black power. We want our people to be tax exempt. You cannot have taxation without representation. We don't have no representation in your court system and your system of white supremacy. We don't have to pay taxes and we don't have representation. Taxation is really illegal. It's not even the federal bank, the Federal Reserve is not even really a government institution. It operates, the IRS and all that operates outside of the government. Y'all checked it out for yourself. But I'm telling y'all, it don't operate within the construct of the U.S. government. It's privately owned, backed by private interests. You heard it on Black Power Radio if you didn't know. The IRS is not backed or responsible underneath a government wing. And so we're paying taxes to an illegal corporation that only seeks to further white supremacy. So, no, we don't believe in that taxation. Y'all taking y'all taxes off of the top to further white interests. We want our people exempt from military service. Why? I mean, if there was so much uproar about Vietnam and the war in Nam in the 1960s and everybody was against the war in Nam, then why in the hell is there not more uproar about the damn war in Iraq and the damn war in Afghanistan when y'all know damn well that Bush and the cronies and the boys and the girls, you know that they lied about the reasons they were going to war? Why do our people have to be put on the front lines and called niggers in their platoons to fight for a freedom that they do not enjoy? Our people right now can fight for years and then come back to this country and can't even find a damn job to feed their families, can't even get the benefits that the Army promised or that the Navy promised to do something for themselves, to do something for their families. Why the hell should we go fight, as Muhammad Ali said, fight somebody they never called us nigger, but right here on the soil, every time we go to try to get something for ourselves, we got to deal with racial profiling, driving while black, being called nigger under their breath, being looked at crazy because we have dreadlocks, afros, fades, or what have you. Why do we fight for a freedom that we do not enjoy? Hell no, we don't think that you should be going to fight for the white man's military. With all the dangers and all the evils that exist in the black community, why do we not form armies of our own in the black community to defend our communities against the evils that happen in our community? Why are you thinking about the interests of the white man when you should be thinking about your own self-interest? With all the military training that we have, with all the tactics that we have, with all the weapons training that we have, with everything that we have or that we have learned in certain formations, why are we not taking that and stopping them from beating and brutalizing black queens like they did our sister in Seattle, where a group of damn black men sat around looking crazy while a rabid pig, a brute pig, punched our queen in the face and fought two sisters off, and the sisters had more heart than them punk-ass brothers standing out there watching? Why are we going through all of this? It is because we are dead to the knowledge of ourselves, and we don't know who in the hell we are. And many of us still think today in 2010 that we have some kind of future underneath the white power structure. You don't have no future. And white folks ain't even got power and future in their own structure. Their world is falling every single day. Every day you wake up, they're talking about the stock exchange. They're talking about how they're going into a double-dip recession. Y'all didn't hear what I said. And when I was coming up, we didn't like nobody to double dip in our food. They're talking about a double dip recession. That means a recession that they cannot recover from. I don't care what they say on TV. They can't recover from it. America, as a nation, is over $4.6 trillion in debt. I'm going to say it again. She is over $4.6 trillion in debt. That means that all the money that she sends out, she does not have enough money to cover her debts. She is constantly in a state of debt. She doesn't have nothing to trade with the other nations of the world to equal her debt. And so she will constantly be in a state of begging and borrowing. America as a nation, brother and sister, y'all might not want to hear it, but America as a nation is broke. She don't have no money. She don't have no power. The only thing that she has is the ignorance of a people that will not unite and do for themselves. That is why the new Black Panther Party continuously says that the black man and black woman must do for his or herself, that we must begin to do for ourselves, to unite for ourselves, to go for ourselves. Hell, you thought you was free from Abraham Lincoln, and you wasn't free from no Abraham Lincoln. You was free once you did like Nat Turner and like those like Dessalines and Buchmann on their land and started killing your oppressor. That's when you get some freedom. When you start killing those who keep you locked up and oppressed and keep you locked down, and you start getting they nasty, savage hands up off of your neck, that's when you get some freedom, black man and black woman. You ain't got no freedom begging somebody for something. What are you begging for? What are you begging for? Wow, there are no other people who wanted to be free begged anybody for anything. And I think that that's what some people have it messed up at. Y'all think when we talk about the 10-point program, that we're talking about begging white folks. We are not talking about begging white folks for anything. We are talking about demands, what we demand. And if our demands are not answered, then you automatically know the repercussions for not answering the demands. I mean, it's simple. It's like being in an abusive relationship, and you finally get tired. I know all of us, most of us, have seen that movie, What's Love Got to Do with It? When the sister got tired, hell, she fought back, and she liberated herself from her situation. I mean, hell, we are in an abusive relationship, if you want to look at it in that sense. Our relationship with our oppressors is hella abusive. And so, hell, we've been tired. And the only thing that's holding many of us back is we think that it's going to change. We keep finding reasons to forgive the oppressor. We keep finding reasons why we can get along. Keep finding reasons why everything is cool. We keep excusing the fact that these people don't like us. They don't like you. They don't want you. They don't love you. Never have loved you. Never will love you. Never will be your friends. You never will be on an equal level with them, ever. I don't care how long you live. I don't give a damn how many jobs you work. I don't care how while you go up on the corporate ladder, you will never be equal with the white man as long as the white power structure is in place. And so we're talking straight up revolution. Some of y'all can't understand why the black man is revolutionary or the black woman is revolutionary. You don't like us to say that we are revolutionary. As Minister Malcolm would say, hell, if you don't understand revolution, you should take that term out of your mouth. You don't like us to say we are revolutionary, but we are absolutely revolutionary. We are absolutely pushing for complete constructive change. And when we say pushing, it is similar to when our black queens give birth in the world. When we push, we struggle, and we strain, and there has to be some pain. There has to be some gritting. There has to be some bloodshed. There is no life in this world without bloodshed. There is no growth in this world without bloodshed and pain. And so we understand that there has to be a changing of the guard, a real changing of the guard, and not a BS changing of the guard. That's why Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad and Malik Zulu Shabazz, our national chairman today, said enough Negro stuff, because the Negro stuff is what keeps us in the condition that we're in. This Negro stuff, this bickering that's going on throughout the so-called conscious community about, you know, I'm this nationality, you're that nationality, we should be black, we shouldn't be black, you know, Kemet was the best, no, Nubia was the best, no, this was the best. All that bickering, man, is Negro stuff. We don't have time for Negro stuff. We have time to organize. If you are comedic and you appreciate the works of Kemet, I love you. If you appreciate the works of Nubia, I love you. If you appreciate the works of Kush, we love you. If you appreciate whatever, we love you as long as it's original and it's African and it's black. I ain't got time, man, because all of that is ours. All of that is ours. Every square inch of the damn planet is ours. I don't care what nationality is listening. It all comes from the original black man and black woman. All of that comes from us. We were in every and all in every part of the planet Earth. And in truth, the white man can't even claim Europe. You can't even claim Europe, white man, because you were not originally even in Europe. If you know your history, you were sent to Europe. Our people drove you into the caves and hillsides of Europe because, hell, we don't like to be cold. And so, hell, we drove you into the caves and hillsides of Europe so that you could be banished away from the righteous and be banished away from the black man and black woman for causing trouble and making mischief. We drove you over there. You wasn't birthed there. You're not natural Europeans. You're not natural nowhere to the planet. You are an alien on our planet. And this is why our planet attacks you, because it's just like a bad cell in the body. Once there's a bad cell, a bad germ, or a sickness that's in the body automatically goes to work to remove you or remove the cancerous element that is in the body, causing the body to be out of harmony, to be out of balance, to be out of whack, to be out of order. And you are the same way. Since you've been on our planet, everything in the universe, not just our planet, everything in the universe has been out of whack. Everything in the universe has been out of order. Everything in the universe has been out of harmony. Not to mention our planet is completely unharmonious. And anytime you have indigenous people fighting, whether it's in Africa or wherever it's at, you can always look for the hands of the pale face or the skunk somewhere in the midst, anywhere. We know through history by reading that even the CIA goes to nations, to black lands and to indigenous nations, and causes the two people to fight amongst themselves and then goes back and says, look at what they're doing. Look at those savages. We know you do this. We know that anytime we see wars in northern Africa, or wars in southern Africa, we know that the white man's imperialistic hand is in the scene. We know this. We are not naturally fighting each other. If we were naturally fighting each other, how come we wasn't just beefing and killing ourselves past 6,000 years ago? How come we were living in peace and building and organizing in a harmonious way, and then when you came on the planet, we started fighting? See, I got to say all this because some of y'all believe the propaganda. Some of y'all actually think that the new Black Panther Party is some kind of crazy group with berets on and black boots, and we don't know what the hell we talking about. Everything that we say, brother and sister, we can prove to you in no limit of time. We prove to you through the history of not only our people, their people as well. It's undeniable, as Dr. Collins would say. It's irrefutable. It's undisputable. Everything that we say to you, the National Chairman Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, make sure we go through painstaking research to be able to prove what we're saying. Everything that we say to you is undeniable. So we're the only ones who deny our freedom. We're the only ones in 2010 who don't want to unite on the basis of a damn word spoken in the English language. I'm going to say it again, spoken in the English language. Hell, we are speaking the enemy's tongue for the most part, and we bickering and beefing over words spoken in the enemy's tongue. Hell, I don't have time, and you don't have time, and we don't have time to bicker and beef over a word spoken by in our enemy's tongue and in our enemy's language. At the worst, we should be trying to have a united language or a universal language or a language of our own nation, and then we can talk about what we're going to call ourselves then. But I refuse to bicker and beef with any of you or anybody over the white man's bastard language. This is the only language in the world that uses double meanings for everything. It's the only language in the world. I mean, you park in a driveway and drive on a parkway. What in the hell? I mean, this is the only language that borrows its meanings the way that it does. It's not like it does. It's the only language, English, the only language, and we arguing over what we should call ourselves and what we are and this, that, and the other, but we still ain't damn free. If you want to call yourself black, call yourself black. If you want to call yourself Asiatic, call yourself Asiatic. If you want to call yourself African, call yourself African. If you want to call yourself whatever, call yourself whatever, but it's got to lead us to freedom. If it don't lead us to freedom, it ain't no damn good. The ultimate objective is freedom. It has to lead us to freedom. Don't tell me that I'm supposed to exist within the white man's law and do everything by the white man's law, and doing everything by the white man's law by the book is all I got to do. Yes, we obey the law. It's good to obey the law. It's good not to run a traffic signal because you don't want to get hit. I mean, that's great. It's good to buckle your seatbelt because you don't want to fly out of your car. I mean, all that's great. It's good to look both ways and all that. But I'm saying in terms of freedom, hell, don't try to hold me to no damn paper that the white man won't even uphold for his or herself. When them scrawny little settlers came over here, they wasn't going by no laws of Maya. They wasn't going by no Ten Commandments. When they was putting smallpox in the Indians' blankets, they wasn't going by no laws of Maya and no Ten Commandments. They came over here on some savagery. They came over here to rob and rape and to pillage. They came over here to fight. And so when a person has declared open war and open season on you, you cannot tell me I have to fight subtly. I have to, you know, as Honorable Dr. Collar would say, tiptoe through the tulips. I can say everything in a proper fashion with a proper context, but I don't have to tiptoe through the tulips. I ain't got to not call something a devil when it's a devil. I ain't got to not say it's Satan when it's Satan. I ain't got to do none of that. And that's why we love the spirit of Sister Fasami. I don't care what nobody say. We love her spirit. Hell, we love the spirit of those of you who are warriors and you are fighting on the front lines for the liberation and salvation of our people, man. However you're doing it, we ain't all got to say it the same way, but ultimately our objective is to get free. If your objective is to get free, then hell, we should be working on the same team, working in the same accord. When I come to California, there shouldn't be no slack in the line. If I'm in Jersey, there shouldn't be no slack in the line. If I'm in Detroit, shouldn't be no slack in the line. If I'm in Florida, shouldn't be no slack in the line. In Ohio, shouldn't be no slack in the line. We got to be one tight chain, one tight chain, one tight network on 196,940,000 square miles of planet Earth. We have to be one tight network. And see, the enemy would love nothing more now than to divide us all. He wants us all to be divided on labels, titles, sex, religions, and parties. He wants us all to be divided. He loves nothing more. I mean, hell, J. Edgar Hoover told you straight up in the COINTELPRO that he wanted to keep us divided through deception. He told you that. He told you that his ultimate aim was to disrupt and to discredit. He told you that. And so now, hell, we falling right for the trap. You got some that are coming in the name of the Black Power Movement. You got some of those that are coming in the name of the Black Power Movement, but all that's falling behind you is confusion. All that's falling behind you is separation. All that's falling behind you is destruction. All that's falling behind you is deterioration. That's all that's falling behind you. So how in the world, how in the hell can we advance the cause when some of you who are black agents working for the white man come in and try to cause confusion? Now, I'll take a quick call. 937-838. You're on the air, Black Power Radio. Question or comment, Black Power?
Black Power, brother, you already know who this is.
Hey, there she is.
How are you?
Man, there she is. I knew you was coming.
I'm just so annoyed right about now, brother. Let me tell you something. You keep running this show the way you running this show. Everybody in here is so proud of you. You got these agent provocateurs coming in, causing disruption, talking about this, that, and the third. On the title page, does it say New Black Panther Party? The official radio. There you go. We're not subscribing. You can be a Moor and be a Black Panther. You can be a Sunni Muslim or with the Nation of Islam or a Christian or a Hebrew Israelite and be in the nation, be with the New Black Panther Party. But do not come over here when you are coming over here in this house, you check all that at the door.
Right.
You check it
right
at the door. We ain't got time to be sitting up here debating semantics and splitting hairs and all this other stuff, talking about we're not black, we're Moors, we're indigenous. Look, man, this whole damn planet belongs to us.
Straight up. We don't
this whole damn planet. I'm not going to sit up here and go down to the county, get stuff recorded on they damn books. they laws about my name and about me just missing my damn birth certificate and my social security card. This whole damn planet belongs to me. So you can go head on with that more science temple 101 bullcrap. Nobody is in here trying to hear. Now, if you're talking about how we're going to ultimately get free, and then like I said, not working within, I'm not going to say not working within the law, because I don't want to get any hot water. But if you want to talk about how we can really get free and stop all this paper pushing and all this other bull crap, then talk to us, you know. But don't come over here with that bull crap. Like I said, check it at the threshold. We ain't trying to hear it. And I see they listening to you, Brother Shine. You got your agents listening to you.
Really, we don't have time. I mean, this is no disrespect. I mean, we love our Morris family or whoever, but we don't
have time
to bicker and beef over damn words that is the enemy's language in the first place. We don't have that kind of time.
Thank you. This is a bastardized, savage, grunt and moan language. Like you said, why are we debating over what their the dictionary changes, what, every couple of years to make it fit their language at the time, as far as the nigger word or racist used to say something years ago in the old dictionaries. Now it says something totally different. Whatever words they throwing around, they make it fit their language. My thing is, why are you debating over a bastardized language in the first place?
I mean, the white man, listen, family, and it's real. The white man right now is trying to convince our people that slavery didn't even happen. They have the nerve to tell our people that slavery did not happen, and they are pushing to write it in their history books that the slavery of the black man and black woman didn't happen.
It was only indentured servitude.
Huh?
It was only indentured servitude is what they're trying to say. We came over here, served about 7 years, and then we was free to do whatever it is that we wanted to do.
Man,
slavery never existed. My cousin who was in Ohio, my little cousin, she's in Ohio. She just started high school this school year. And in her 8th grade social studies class, they told her, her white social studies teacher, this is what happens when you send your children over to them to get educated about your history. They told her in the class, slavery never existed. That's a figment of your imagination. You were only indentured servants, and you only had to spend a couple of years, you know, to work your... It was white people who were indentured servants also, so it wasn't just black people. Oh, yeah.
That's exactly what I'm saying, man. That's exactly what I'm saying, man. I mean, while we beefing over words and all of this, you know what I'm saying? They teaching our babies that, you know, your people suffering the shame was just indentured servitude, and that basically we need to stop crying about it. That's what they're telling while we beefing over words. And I'm just saying this, and I'm not, and I if it steps on toes, it just steps on toes, but I'm just saying it straight up. That I don't, if the white man did not register, you know, or did not ask my people, can we have our names changed, and why in the hell am I going to necessarily register? I mean, you can if you want to, but I'm just saying, why would I register to change my name back, and it was stolen from me in the first place?
Right.
I mean, somebody, you got to answer me that. I mean,
that's right.
The white man stole the name from you, family. Stole it from you. Then why the hell did you have to register to take your own name back?
Within their system. I said, within their system, you have to register your name back on their books. It's really a bizarre situation. I'm sorry, brother. Go ahead.
Nah, I'm just saying, only slaves do this. I see it even in the chat room. Y'all know y'all beefing with the little Morris brother and sister in the chat room.
Diamante, I guess.
It's a waste of time. And look, if he or she want to be a Moor, they want to do how they're doing, let them do what they're doing. But my thing is this, brother,
they can do what they're doing and nobody is stopping them. What we're trying to say is, I know for a fact that the Moors have a BTR radio. They have a Blog Talk radio show. Go over there with that crap if that's what you are more concerned with, your nationality. See, I'm not concerned so much with nationality. I'm concerned with this damn planet and who its rightful owners are.
Yeah, exactly.
And trying to get it all back. I'm not going to sit up here and waste my time going through their county and court records to lay claims on some kind of nationality. Now, y'all can go ahead and fly that American flag with your Moor flag, but we're going to keep repping this RBG. We're going to keep repping this red, black, and green, and that's what we're going to represent over here. And I hate to be so divisive. If you're going, like I said, if you're going to come to the Black Panthers and you're going to drop all that stuff at the door and understand that this is a political, this is not some kind of religious-based organization. This is a political organization determined to get freedom for their people. I'm sorry for y'all. There's nothing that I can say that you really going to understand, but I just had to chime in on that because I was getting a little aggravated.
No. You come in right on time. I guess something happened to the chairman, so we roll on. But I'm just saying that, look,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? It is a waste of time to debate, you know what I'm saying, you know, somebody on their religious belief. That's a waste. What we should be asking the brother or the sister is, what are you doing for full and complete freedom? Registering yourself with the white man is maybe a form of freedom to that individual, but not full and complete freedom for the masses of our people. So y'all got to ask them kind of questions. Hey, what are you going to do when the white man kick in your damn door and knock all your damn papers on the floor? Then what you going to do? You understand what I'm saying?
Hmm.
So we got to start.
And let me ask a question. I got to ask this question. When has a white person, a cracker, a dog, or whatever, when have they ever respected any of their treaties, any of their promises, any of their laws? They don't respect that. So you can sit up here when martial law kicks in and when physical combat, we're actually engaging in it, and you can wave your nationality papers and your nationality card all you want, and it doesn't mean anything. You can have your fez on, you can have your Moor flag, you can have your American flag, you can be at your house saying, I'm sovereign, I'm not traded in the stock market. You can say whatever you want to say, but it does not matter to them. All they see is a black man. I don't like using that N-word, but that's really all they see. So like I said, you can go ahead and waste your time registering yourself and getting your nationality, but you're stepping over a dollar to get to a dime when this whole goddamn planet belongs to you.
Yeah, let me go off into this part of the show. You know, and I'm a shift gears on us in these 52 minutes, because, you know, originally now that the topic was blood in my eyes. It's a tribute we given to George Jackson. And so I guess I have to get the chairman back on at a different time. But, I mean, what's your thoughts on the General George Jackson at the summit?
You know what? And I was looking at that in the chat room. My sister got mad. Like, y'all ain't talking about him. I'm gone. Well, you got to give us time, sis. You know, Brother Sean Kwali. You know, brother, you – they say I'm long-winded, but you make sure you get your point across. And I love you for that, because you leave no stone unturned.
I got something to say.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I wish I could take people like George Jackson. I wish I could take the Nat Turners. I wish I could take the Gabriel Prosser's and the Mark Vesey's, you know, Desalines and all of them. I wish I could bottle their spirit up and make every black man, woman, and child devour it, just drink it. And hopefully then, when it comes time for war, when it comes time to actually actively engage battle with these people, they won't, their heart doesn't pump Kool-Aid. I think he's a soldier. What else is there to say? What do you think of Brother George Jackson?
I mean, let me say this. I always say the general George Jackson, man, this is somebody,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, he was, I mean, like me and you, he come from the Midwest. I got to say that straight up and down. He come from the
mm-hmm.
Midwest, coming out of Chicago. And
mm-hmm.
this is a brother who, I mean, he was locked down at like 18 years old. You know what I mean? I mean,
mm-hmm.
18 years old, this brother locked down for what they say was armed robbery, right? And
mm-hmm.
he's supposed to serve a year, but because actually of his militancy and some of the things that he was doing, of course they kept him in for a lot longer than 1 year. Now, how you tell me how he was sentenced to serve 1 year and he was locked down in San Quentin and all them other places for the time that he was locked down? That's a whole nother story. But I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's a brother who you know, had started the BGF, you know, the Black Gorilla Family. You know what I mean? He hooked up with Fleet of Drum Grow and John Cruchetti and all them. I mean, he was moving. You know what I mean? While he was locked down. I'm talking about in Soledad Prison. He was locked down, but he was still organizing. Many of us today, man, we consider ourselves free, quote unquote. We, you know, on the streets, and we can go about our daily activity, and we ain't doing a fingernail's worth of what General George Jackson was doing. This is a man isolated in solitary confinement for 23 hours a day. I'm going to say it again. George Jackson, isolated for 23 hours a day, and while he was locked down, this man is using his time to study. I mean, you know, he's studying, and he's writing books. I mean, many of us got the books. Blood in My Eye, Soledad Brother, The Prison Letters, and all that. I mean, these became best-selling books. This is a man, again, that was locked down. And you can't, of course, you could. For me, I can never mention George Jackson. I can never mention the general without mentioning at least the lieutenant, and Jonathan Jackson. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I mean,
right.
This is a young man. This is a young man. Jonathan wasn't nothing but 17, y'all. I'm saying this is why earlier I was talking about the youth, man. Jonathan Jackson was nothing but 17 years old, espousing revolutionary ideas. This man, you know, they called him the man child, Jonathan Jackson. This brother here was so convinced about revolutionary action that this man went off into the Marin County courtroom with his guns. I'm talking about straight up Jonathan Jackson. Went into the Marin County courthouse with his guns and was freeing prisoners. You know, Christmas, McGee, and all them. Freeing them.
Mm-hmm.
Straight up. You know what I'm saying? And went in there taking the judges hostage and everything. I think they say that Jonathan went in there. Dr. Collins said Jonathan went in there and said, you know, I'm holding court today. You know what I mean?
Right.
17 years old, Jonathan Jackson. So to get back to George, General George, man, this is a brother that's on lockdown for 23 hours a day, and he's in there writing books. He's in there getting it in on political science. He's in there making moves, you know, corresponding with Minister Huey P. Newton, you know, how to build the party. This man is training brothers behind the prison camps. He's the field marshal of the Black Panther Party. So I'm saying all that to say, man, what excuse do we have?
I don't know. My big brother, Guy Zulu, always said we ain't seen enough yet. We got to see more. I don't know, brother. We touched on it earlier today when the white boy wanted us to do a show. Integration is a big problem. A lot of people don't see the big picture. They don't see the problem. We have no excuse. We have everything at our fingertips. It's easier for a 12-year-old to get a gun today than it is for a 17, 18-year-old to graduate from high school today.
Yeah,
it's no excuse, right? It's no excuse for us not to be free. It's none. And it's really sad. It's really disheartening, and it's really sad. And people ask you, why do you continue to do this? Well, you know, you just do it because number one, it has to be done. You start doing it out of habit and an undying and unapologetic love for your people. However, the shit gets a little old, and it gets a little sad. Because we don't have an excuse. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if a brother right now goes up to any county court and start holding people hostage and doing all that, I'm going to tell you now, we're going to be sitting watching 5 o'clock news, 10 o'clock news, 11 o'clock news, talking about, man, that ain't crazy. He's stupid. What the hell was he thinking about? You know that's what's going to be said. So it's kind of like, what do you do?
And
people ain't ready.
I mean,
they ain't seen enough.
I mean, I'm saying straight, man. It's this. Look, comrade. I got to just keep putting my stress on this. That he is putting, you know, and he's putting in work, and he's locked down 23 hours.
Hello? Hello? Brother Sean. All right. Let me see if the audience can still hear me. If y'all can still hear me, go ahead and type yes in the chat room, please. Okay, he got cut off, so I guess, well, good thing I called in, so I guess I have to run the show until he calls back in on his line. But he was saying 23 hours out the day, this black man was locked down and he was making moves. He was, you know, corresponding with Huey Newton. There is no excuse for us to be out here in the free world. We got, as Brother Josh saying, Elevator says, 25 hours out the day, 8 days out the week to get it done, and we still sitting around here playing. It's sad. It's disheartening. There is no excuse. There is no excuse for us not to be totally free. So, Brother Sanubian, you're a mess. But that being said, I don't have access to the switchboard, so if y'all trying to call in, I do apologize. I just called in as a guest to talk and vent a little bit about the stuff that was going on in the chat room. I didn't know I was going to actually have to take over a little while, but I hope Brother Sean hurries up and gets back online. But like I was saying before, there is no excuse for us not to be free. It's amazing, once left alone, what our minds are capable of doing. Once left untouched and unscathed by any kind of outside influence, any kind of assistance, not even assistance, any kind of meddling from the outside. It's amazing what the black man and black woman can actually do. 23 hours out the day. Now, during this time, he was locked down. There was no internet. There was no cell phones. That means he had to get up out of his cell, and if he had permission to use the phone, he had to literally walk and go and get the phone and make whatever calls he had to make, and he had to make them quickly. And he got all this info, he got all this stuff done. When you're isolated 23 hours out the day, or if you're on lockdown 23 hours out the day, you're on the whole, of course, you know, you're not really getting that much mail. So, like I said, when left alone and left to our own abilities, it's amazing what the black man and the black woman can do. Let me check on Brother Sean Peoples. Please bear with us for the technical difficulties. I really wasn't prepared for tonight. Let's see. What's going on here? All right, people. Hang tight. Wait 1 second, please.
Okay, my back on my family. I hope that y'all can hear me now. Can y'all hear me now?
Thank God, brother. I was just trying to call you. I had to click over. I'm like, oh, snap. Hey, I'm about to get off the phone, man.
Now, you know, I really feel like the national chairman now when they start messing with your phone. Damn. But
Yeah. And on that note, I feel like a dweeb, so I'm about to go ahead and get off this phone. You go ahead and run your ship the way you want to run it, brother. This is your show. Do your thing, all right?
All ain't gotta feel like no
man, I'm sitting up here like I'm just rambling on, and I know people are like, oh man, shut the hell up, sis.
Ain't nobody is saying that about no fasami. Y'all lost your mind, y'all talking about.
Look, thank you so much, bruh.
We talking about General George Jackson, and what we were saying was that this man was on lockdown for 23 hours with all that stuff he accomplished. He's a man that was straight up locked down. And if y'all read the book Behold the Pale Horse, you know, by the man William Cooper, the white man William Cooper, he said in his book that you know, the aim of the promise that he was working for was to keep the people so busy, you know what I mean, that they wouldn't have time to work for their freedom, man. But I'm just saying straight up that look, this man was locked down and he did all of that. So what excuse do we have? Now, I just want to, you know, I don't want y'all, I see little buddy Dale C in the chat room. Y'all getting mad at Dale C. Dale C talking about, you know, Fred Hampton worked with white folks. Look, man, look, check this out. Y'all, that's just an example of people being misinformed. Fred Hampton, yeah, he had what they call the first rainbow. I'm talking about Chairman Fred Hampton Sr. He had what they call the first rainbow coalition. But anybody knew anything, and you can ask his son even, Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. Anybody knew anything about Chairman Fred knew that Chairman Fred did not like white folks. He wasn't down with white folks like that. He didn't, you know what I mean? He wasn't rolling with white folks like that. It was not a thing. The thing was that the Black Panther Party at that time was working with Chairman Mao's Red Book. They were studying Chairman Mao's Red Book, and Chairman Mao's philosophy was that it wasn't all white folks that was bad. It was the white elite. And so that was the position that they were working from. And so, again, now, we are the new Black Panther Party. I'm going to say this again. We are the new Black Panther Party. And the fact about it is that we ain't just singling out some damn elite white folks. We not even splitting hairs like that. We are talking about a history of brutality against the darker peoples of the planet Earth by the Caucasian people and the power structure. That's what we're talking about. So we ain't splitting no hairs like that. You know what I'm saying? So don't try to slander Chairman Fred Hampton Sr. and try to make him some ethereal person that just worked with white folks. You lost your damn mind. You didn't know nothing about no Chairman Fred Hampton Sr. You damn sure don't know nothing about no Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. You don't know nothing about no Black Panther Party, man. We'll talk about that stuff at another time. But the point of the fact of the matter is General George Jackson is a man who has to be studied. A man has to be studied. I mean, number one, as a field marshal. Now, he was given the title by the National Central Committee of the Black Panther Party and Mr. Huey P. Newton as field marshal. And the job of the field marshal is to keep all of the soldiers in line, all of the people who, you know, have disciplines or to have, you know, the military posture. The job of the field marshal is to keep those individuals right on the square, right on the point. And so General George Jackson, to be the field marshal of the Black Panther Party, that means that he was somebody that Minister Huey P. Newton knew he could trust. He was somebody that he knew would not back down in the face of adversity. Anybody who knew about General George Jackson knew that General George Jackson wasn't no punk. They knew General George Jackson wasn't no sissy. He wasn't no, you know, he wasn't no sellout, man. Anytime you read about this man, you knew that he wasn't somebody, you know what I mean, that'll back down. And so he has to be studied. If you would study General George Jackson, he would lead you a long way up the road for liberation. He'll lead you a long way up the room towards liberation. General George Jackson. You know what I'm saying? And so, look, I'm saying it like this because we want to keep the show rolling and keep it right and exact, man. y'all have too much time. You agents who slide in and out of the Black Power movement, you got too much time on your hands. With all the technology that the white man has, he does not need your black self to be spying on black organizations. I want to raise a question, though, right now, tonight. If you would study the history of not only the Black Panther Party, but also study the history of Minister Malcolm X, you got to ask the question about Gene Roberts. You got to talk some Gene Roberts. Now, for those of y'all who don't know Gene Roberts, he was the man who was the bodyguard in the later years for Minister Malcolm X. He was the man who they say that when Minister Malcolm X had got, you know, shot and you know, was assassinated when he was in his final stages of life, that this man, Gene Roberts, was the man who was supposedly given the Baba, Minister Malcolm X, El-Haj Malik Shabazz. He was giving him supposedly mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. Now, Gene Roberts goes from his infiltration into, you know, the organization of Minister Malcolm X and goes straight up into the Black Panther Party. Now, I'm bringing this stuff out for a reason, and I'm connecting this with General George Jackson. Look, now we have agents all over the place, and y'all know for sure now, especially the new Black Panther Party, man, we are thoroughly infiltrated with you agent provocateurs and you agent Negroes, and y'all think that, you know what I mean, nobody sees you, that nobody knows you're there, but I mean, I'm just saying, we know that we are thoroughly infiltrated. That's what I'm going to say. And so when you're talking about a Gene Roberts, why is it now that Gene Roberts was still to this day, I mean, really not ever really brought to trial, brought to any kind of justice by the courts or otherwise, and he was able to not only work, you know, with, you know, on, you know, in terms with Minister Malcolm X while the assassination was going on, but also work with the Black Panther Party? Where were those who were like General George and the field marshals who were making sure that these agents and these provocateurs were not able to slip and slide throughout the black movement? Whenever you see confusion going on in the world, you got to know there are agents in your midst. There are people that are there. I don't give a damn if you're talking New Black Panther. I don't care if you're talking Morris Science. I don't care if you're talking Nation of Islam. I don't care if you're talking Comedic. I don't care if you're talking whatever. There are agents in everything black. Everybody that's black, everybody that's saying black power, you are not necessarily down for the cause just because you saying black power, you saying Islam alaikum or whatever you saying. It don't mean that you, you know what I mean? I don't mean everybody that's black is down with us. I got to say that. And so why was Gene Roberts able in the 1960s to slip and to slide through the ranks of the Black Panther Party and slip and slide through the Organization of Afro-American Unity set up by Minister Malcolm X and not be checked? And why are so many popping up today causing confusion amongst black people when all we trying to do is get free and they're not being checked? Why are they not being checked? And why is it that these Negroes always, whenever, you know, they pockets get low, then they want to throw on these events? I don't understand this stuff, man. You know, you throw on these events to fill your pocket, you know what I mean? But hell, you know, you don't throw on no events to feed the poor. I don't understand. I don't get it, man. I mean, I don't get it. I don't understand. You know, but my question again is, if we would study General George Jackson, if we would study General George Jackson, why is it that we are not as strong as General George Jackson was, and he's on lockdown 23 hours a day, man, 23 hours a day? Why have we not been able to replicate a brother who was locked down since he was 18 years old? That's all I'm trying to say. If we so-called free got time, we got time to, you know what I'm saying, MySpace or whatever, Facebook and all this stuff, why the hell are we not putting out books like Blood in My Eye, man? Why we ain't putting, if we gonna rap, why we ain't putting out rap songs, you know what I mean, that are inspiring and motivating the people to do better than what they're doing now, man. Why are we doing all that? You know what I mean? I'm going to tell y'all something. I'm going to tell y'all something else. Look, a lot of y'all think that, you know, James Brown, y'all think that he put out that I'm Black and I'm Proud just because he wanted to. But I'm going to tell y'all the truth. There was some revolutionaries. I ain't going to get into it too far tonight, but there was some revolutionaries, some black revolutionaries in the background who had actually went and told James Brown to redo the song. James Brown was going to put out a different kind of song that was, you know, something that was more radio-friendly for the label. And it was the revolutionaries who went and put some pressure on Brother James Brown, rest in peace, put some pressure on him to go and put that song, cut that record, say it loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud. I'm saying this to say to y'all, to my brothers and my sisters, my comrades, that if y'all are tired of the cooning and the buffooning that's going on in radio today, and we got to start putting some revolutionary pressure on these Negroes, man. I mean, I'm not going to single no particular rapper out, but I'm just saying y'all know that the music is dumb as hell. Everybody knows that. The music is dumb. And so we have to put pressure on these musicians, put pressure on these rappers, put pressure on these artists, put pressure on these attorneys, put pressures on whoever, man, to produce some revolutionary material. If we don't put no pressure, it ain't going to happen. It took the revolutionaries, and it took those who were reading Blood in My Eye and the Soledad prison letters and all that. It took them, man, to put pressure on the musicians and put pressure on, you know, James Brown and others, man. This stuff we listening to today, man, is terrible. Any of y'all, I'm telling you, any of y'all that's so-called conscious and you bopping your head to somebody like, and I mean no disrespect, but I mean somebody like a Soulja Boy or whoever, man, you have lost your mind. That music is designed to make you dumb. It is a dumbing down of your brain cells and your stimulation of your mind. It's a dumbing process. And they know it's a dumbing process. If you sit down and ask them, they'll tell you they know it's dumb, simple music. For the most part, every musician out there, every rapper out there got some revolutionary music in the vaults, but they can't put it out because the label won't let them put it out. They're controlled, and they're slaves. And every time they sign a contract, it's just like, you know, it's just like the days of slavery. They're signing a contract to be able to represent the industry or white interests. They are signing a contract to put out whatever the label wants them to put out. And so they don't put out the conscious music. They don't put out the social commentary in their music. They put out the music that is designed to make you just bob your head. If you notice now, there's always a very nice beat. Most of the music that's dumb has a hell of a beat to it. And so, you know, you bob your head and you say, man, that sounds good. But when you think about, you know, what the hell they really saying, I mean, they not saying nothing because the revolutionaries ain't putting no pressure on them, man. And if we stop going and downloading their music, I ain't even saying go to the stores because most of y'all don't even go to the stores and buy the CDs no more. We just download it. But, hell, I wouldn't even download the music. You ought to be a damn shame to yourself if you downloading that dumb music, man. And I'm saying that even to the conscious rappers, man. If you're going to put out conscious rap, make sure that the music bop. I'm just saying, if you're going to put out conscious music, make sure that your conscious music bang and beat and bop as hard as those that's putting out that BS, man. You know what I'm saying? And we're going to start holding you accountable, and you hold us accountable for buying your music. Let me tell you, one of my favorite albums, is Let's Get Free by Dead Prez, man. That's an album right there that, you know what I mean, it rolls. I'm talking about from number one all the way down to the last track. I mean, that album comes in with Chairman O'Malley, yes, you should tell it. I mean, and from the time that he come in talking about the wolf and the man who, you know what I mean, stuck the ice pick in the ice and the wolf was trying to get fed and all this, man. I mean, that whole album was just, was beautiful. And what I'm saying is that when you look at what they did, talking about Day of Prayers, then you got to parallel it over to Dave Chappelle. You take it to Dave Chappelle. Dave Chappelle opened up his whole show on Day of Prayers instrumental hip-hop. He opened his whole show up. Dave Chappelle came on the show with the red, the black, and the green on his arm. That is because, if y'all don't know, Dave Chappelle, man, supports the revolution, man. Dave Chappelle supports black power. I mean, if y'all didn't know, and the reason why Dave Chappelle left his show was because those white elites were trying to make him to bow to their wishes. They were trying to make Dave Chappelle get down into a dress and dress like a woman, like you see Martin Lawrence and all these other characters, these black brothers and sisters do. They trying to, you know, for some reason, now in Hollywood, you know, is, you know, the thing for black men to do is to dress like a woman. I mean, you're looking at, you know, Tyler Perry and all these other people, man. They gotta dress up like women now, you know, in order to get roles. Or if it's a black woman, she gotta be all madly in love with a white man and kissing on a white man and all this in order to get nominated, man. I'm just saying, like, you think about, you know, Halle Berry. She wasn't even getting no Oscars and all that till she was kissing on the white boy in Monster Ball. You know what I'm saying? So Hollywood, man, is as you already know, it's not for us. I mean, and that's why they used to say burn Hollywood, burn. But you know, the revolutionaries, if we would put pressure on them, I mean, I'm just trying to show you how you can affect people right, you know, right where you are. If we would put real pressure on them and stop fattening their pockets, man, you know, for putting out this terrible music, they would change. It wouldn't be no supply and demand. The rap industry is built on capitalism. The rap industry is built on capitalism. If you ask Immortal Technique, another one who is out there dropping it, I mean, just dropping it from track one to, you know what I mean, the last track of the album, Immortal Technique. If you don't have an Immortal Technique album, you need to go today and buy Immortal Technique's album, whether it's the one, you know what I mean, by DJ Green Lantern, or whether it's the first one he came out with, Revolutionary Volume 1 or Volume 2, buy you some Immortal Technique. You know what I mean? Buy you some Cam. You know what I'm saying? Buy you some Paris. You know, go back to the vaults. Buy you some Ascari X. I mean, whatever you like. Buy you some Poor Righteous Teachers, man. Buy you some stuff that will promote your blackness. But I'm saying that to say that we have to begin to affect what is affecting our youth, man. And this youth, our youth today, man, we listen to rap and we listen to these records as if they are, you know, sacred spiritual scriptures, man. So if we will not be revolutionary enough to affect what's happening on the radio, we cannot control what's going on a day-to-day basis. We must begin to control what is happening on our radio, what is happening on our TV, what is happening in our airwaves, man. Look, I mean, Dave Chappelle, again, back to Dave. He told y'all straight up, man, he left because the white man put pressure on him. He left because the white man wanted to put him in a dress. As funny as he was, the white man was not happy until he debased and feminized the black man. Now, I'm just trying to tell y'all this, man, that we have to have complete constructive change. Complete constructive change in every aspect of our lives. And the reason why the streets are in the way that they're in is because we are not controlling that which is feeding our minds. The reason why General George Jackson was able to do the things that he did is because he had time to sit down and study. He had time to focus. He had time to do the things that he needed to do. We have to take time to do what we're supposed to do. We got to take time. If you want to write a book, write you a book. If you want to build a school, build you a school. If you want to, you know what I mean, be the baddest soldier on the block, be the baddest soldier on the block. If you want to be an attorney, like, you know, Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, then be that, but be it in a revolutionary fashion. I want to take your mind to a quote that I always say by Che Guevara. He say this. He say that words are beautiful, but actions are supreme. I'm going to say it again. Words are beautiful, but actions are supreme. So we can really talk day and night. We can talk for the rest of our lives. But if we don't back our words with action, then hell, we don't have a chance to get free. Do you want to get free, black man and black woman? Or do you want your, you know, do you want your little boys rocking skinny jeans, man? I'm just saying, if y'all know that there's a plot to, you know, effeminize your males, then why in the hell would you let your boys wear jeans that are so tight, man, that you can see their veins? Why do that? Why? Why allow them to participate in the plight and the machination of our enemies? Why? Why let your children suffer this? One day, our children are going to get so wise, man, that if we don't rise up the way that we're supposed to, they're going to take us out. Y'all don't have to believe it, but one day our babies will get so fed up because this has been going on for so long that if we don't stand up, our babies will take us out because these babies are not made for this foolishness. These babies are warriors. These babies are killers. These babies are soldiers, man, and fighters. These babies have it naturally in them. Did you think that the prayers of the slaves wasn't going nowhere? When the baby was in the womb, you know what I'm saying? When the babies was in the womb, them prayers of our forefathers and foremothers was going down into the womb. Hell, look, man, so the prayers of your ancestors are being answered through the black woman's womb. If you are desirous to see your people free, you got to start with your own black woman. You got to stop picking up these white women, man. You cannot get free. You cannot get free dating and intermixing and trying to grab up all the white women that you see. You can't do it. It's impossible. How can you get free? You got a white woman on your arm or a white man on your arm, and you're trying to get free, and you're praying to white Jesus, and then the next thing you know, here come the revolutionaries talking about black power, and you're going to say black power. You cannot properly say black power with a white woman or a white man on your arm. It don't make no sense. What sense does it make? Here you are putting your beautiful black seed into the white woman, and she's going to teach your seed about George Washington never told a lie. She gonna teach your seed about Thomas Jefferson being the founding father, you know, of this nation and all this old white supremacist, you know what I mean, colonial BS, man. Listen, get you a black woman. The black man has to be strong enough to get and have and be with the black woman. And the black woman has to be strong enough to be with the black man. Some of you weak brothers, you get these white girls because you say that the white girl is easy. It's easy to get, you know, a white girl, and if you want to, you know, get you a little bit or get you a piece, you're going to, you know, get you a white girl because, you know, the white girl ain't going to ask you no questions. That's weak. That's a weak brother, a weak sister. You don't want no sister. You don't want no black woman because that black woman ain't just going to give it to you for no free. That black woman ain't just gonna throw it to you for nothing. She's gonna put some demands on you and ask that you maintain her. She's gonna ask that you uplift her and ask you that you up enlighten her and that you raise her to another standard of living, either equal or better than what she's living to now. And so that's why some of you weak brothers run out to these white women, because these white women ain't gonna put no demands on you. And then you gonna be taking a shower with her, and you're going to smell that funky dog's hair for the rest of your life. I mean, why would you want that? Why would you want that? Why would you want to wake up and smell like German Shepherd for the rest of your life? I don't understand that. When your black woman has been with you, she has supped with you, she's you know, labored beside you. And even though we have been wrong in many cases, she has not left us. I don't understand why you would disrespect the black woman and go and grab yourself, you know, a white woman, or why the black woman would go and grab herself a white man. You know, and I know a lot of our sisters, we, you know, work around these white men, and these white men, they make these old nasty jokes, you know what I mean, and they make these old sly remarks, and they always want to try to put their nasty hands on the black woman and make her feel uncomfortable, and our sisters feel like that she, you know, that she, you know, has to take that because she, you know, she works for the white man. You sisters, you don't have to take that. You don't have to, you know, allow no damn white boss or any boss, you know, at your job to be putting their hands on you and talking to you in some kind of sly way as if you're not the queen of our planet and the mother of our civilization, man. I mean, look, that's why, family, that's why we have to have a nation of our own. We have to have a nation of our own that is underneath, you know, that is underneath the black law, that is underneath the laws of Maat, because, hell, we have to be able to give our people justice when they are trying to earn a living. You know, our sisters have to be able to be comfortable and be respected and to be protected. And the reason why, you know what I mean, many of our sisters have lost respect for us, it is because we as men are not doing what we're supposed to do. We are not being the type of providers that we're supposed to be. And so, hell, they're not respecting us in the manner that we want to be respected. And I'm just saying this, that we have to be able to stand up for the black woman and stand up for the black man. We got to stand up. We got to have our own backs, brothers and sisters. We got to protect and respect ourselves. Stop letting white folks come in your community and snatch up, you know, your woman, black man. Stop letting, you know, the white woman come and snatch the black man. Stop it. Stop them. Physically go to them and say, y'all do not relate to each other. What are y'all doing with each other? No self-respecting so-called Jew would bring home a German. I'm just telling you, no so-called self-respecting Jew would bring home a German. So why in the hell would you go and get you a white woman after all that we have suffered? Why would you disrespect the legacy of Harriet Tubman? Why would you disrespect the honor and legacy of Emmett Till? Why would you disrespect everything that we have fought for just to put this old white stringy-haired girl or this white stringy-haired man on your arm when you, as the original people, have all the hues and the colors all over the world? Why would you do that? And then why would you, as a revolutionary, just say, well, that's just the way it is? That's just the way it is. That, you know, hell, you know, our people now, they just like them some, hell no. Hell, if you know your people are dead, you got to go to your people and say, why the hell you got this white girl on your arm? That's why I love selling the new Black Panther newspaper, being out in the community, whatever I'm doing, and they roll up on me. I love when they do that because you already know from me they're going to get a mouthful straight up if they don't get, you know what I mean, if they don't get looked at crazy and everything else. They already know. They just keep the windows rolled up and they keep it moving because, look, we don't like, if you don't like the white woman being with the black man, I'm just saying, say something. That's what I'm telling you. If you ain't no punk, you ain't no sissy, say something. If you don't like, you know what I mean, the white man coming and taking your black woman, say something. Go to them and say something. They going to give you some more stuff about this is America and we all one and blah, 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 blah. You know how to beat that. But I'm just saying, you got to start affecting change where you at. Start saying something. Start saying something to these Arabs that come into your community and pimp your community and become capitalists in your community, you know what I mean, and don't give back to the community. Start saying something. Start doing something. Start saying something to the, you know what I mean, to the Chinese that, you know what I mean, pimp our community, you know what I mean, buy up our community and don't give nothing back to the community. Start saying something. Start doing something. Start saying something to even the black man and black woman that is pimping the community. You know what I mean? Robbing the community, not giving back to the community.
start saying something and doing something. Start saying something and start doing something, man. I'm telling you, all these dope boys, all these dope boys who's pushing the white man's powder, pushing the white man's crack, let me tell y'all something. Y'all, if y'all going to be pushing the white man's powder, pushing the white man's crack, y'all need to be building community centers off the money that you're getting. I'm just saying. Yeah, hell, y'all talking about y'all watching Scarface and all this other stuff. At least, at the very least, they had enough sense to go back to their communities and put something in the community for the people. Y'all not even putting nothing in the community. Y'all are really standing in the way, you know, of the freedom, justice, and equality. You are selling the white man's poison to our people, man. You know what I'm saying? And we know you didn't make that contradiction. We know you didn't make that contradiction. We know you ain't got no boats and no planes and no trains, not a stick, not a spike. You ain't got none of that. But I'm saying it straight up that if you are going to be on the corner doing that, man, you have to turn that thing around to the street tribes or the so-called gangs. You have to begin to stop participating in genocide of your people. If you beefing over a red flag or you beefing over a blue flag, you got to look for the middle, that one with the white flag and the white skin. You got to look and understand that, hell, you are participating in the genocide of your people, in the murder of your people, in the destruction of your people. Every time you smoke a black man and shoot a black man or shoot a black woman and rape a black woman, you are participating in the white power structure's plan to destroy our people. And I'm telling you straight up, in a revolutionary spirit, that if you will not organize, and we hope that you will organize and do something for your people, that you will be removed by the will of an armed, civilized, disciplined people who will stop you in your madness. We want the Crips, the Bloods, we want the Vice Lords, the GDs, we want all of them to organize in a revolutionary fashion and stop the genocidal murder of black people. Stop participating in the white power structure's aim to kill our people through capitalism, through the crack cocaine that they put in the community, through the guns that they put in the community out in L.A. first, leaving trucks open full of guns and automatic weapons. Stop participating in the genocidal murder and slaughter of black people. And if you have your guns, know who the hell to shoot. When Rodney King or whoever was being beat up, why the hell didn't y'all get your goddamn guns then and do something for your people? Why every time something happens, like what happened to our sister in Seattle, ain't none of the so-called tribes out there with your weapons taking a stand against that kind of brutality? But when the neighbors come out just trying to have a good time in the community, then all of a sudden it's all kind of guns and all kind of violence, and you so tough and you so hard. I'm telling y'all this. You got to become a revolutionary. You have to unite with the revolutionaries. You have to organize with the new Black Panther Party and go back to the root from which you came from, the Crips and the Bloods. Both of the sets, both of the street tribes, all spawn from the ideology, the original ideology of the Black Panther Party. All of that originally was not, you know, by capitalist means. It wasn't anything that was designed to destroy our people. Even the Crips and the Bloods both have a Crip constitution and a Blood constitution that prohibits you from moving on the youth and moving on your community and doing things that upset the harmony and balance in your community. All of you have this. And so it is time that you go back to your original purpose, which is to protect the community from threats. If you're going to be a street tribe and you're going to be an organized organization in the streets, you're going to have to begin to protect our people from police brutality. We are going to ask you straight up. We ain't going to ask you. We're telling you straight up that wherever the new Black Panther Party is, we're going to put pressure not only on the white man and the white power structure. We're going to put pressure on our own people and the street tribes and the religious leaders and the political leaders. We're going to put pressure on all of us to do for ourselves. We love you, brothers and sisters. We love you, as we say, more than you hate yourself. We love you so much that we're willing to go to bat for you, but we're not going to be your patsies. We're not going to let you get up out of this. if you are not willing to, as Honorable Dr. Khaled say and Attorney Shabazz say, if you are not willing to lift your fist and swing, then hell, we need you to get the hell up out of the way. Why are you in the way? Why are you in the way of those who are ready to lift our fists and swing? Our national chairman is teaching us and guiding us in the right manner in a revolutionary spirit, man. I'm telling y'all, you can put all your hope and everything that you want to, but if you are not practicing a religion that is teaching you about revolution, you ain't got it in the right kind of perspective. It has to be a religion that will free you from the hands of this oppressor. It has to be a revolutionary posture that will free you from the hands of your oppressor. It has to be a spiritual system that will free you from the hands of your oppressor. It has to be an education or a political system that will free you from the hands of your oppressor. So as I share these last few minutes with you, I say, number one, we thank you for listening to us and your time, and we will definitely bring the national chairman back on. Whatever happened, he couldn't make it, but I hope that whatever we said tonight, it registers with you in your heart, that as we say, from the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad and his number one student, the national chairman, Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, revolution is the only solution. If you want to say that Islam is mathematics and mathematics is Islam, as some say that, revolution is the only solution. Your mathematics must equal revolution. If you want to say that you need your nationality, if you want to say that you need to be sovereign, as some say that, revolution is the only solution. Your nationality must equal revolution. If you say that you are an African and you practice an African form of spirituality, it must equal revolution. If what you have does not equal revolution, then you do not have the solution to free yourself from the condition that our people now find themselves in. I'll take a final call here with the last few minutes of the show for your question or your comment. 516-476. You're on the air with Black Power Radio. Your question or comment. 3 minutes remaining. Question or comment. 516-476. Got a question or comment?
Oh, I had no question earlier. I was trying to get in. Black Power, how you doing tonight, though?
Hey, this is my comrade, Sister Crystal.
That's right, brother. How you doing?
Hey, Black Power Queen, I'm doing blacktastic, as you can hear. Hey, I'm doing well. How you doing?
I'm good. I was trying to get into the chat room, but it's not letting me in there.
Man, the chat room be full. I don't know what be going on. The people are there in that chat now. They can hear you. So send the people in the chat room a shout out. They can hear you.
Yeah,
Sister Fasami got a sharp sword. I'm telling you, if you know, keep your eyes open. If it's gonna cut two ways, you know what I mean?
And sister ain't no joke right there.
And so I already know that you agree with what we said. A revolution is the only solution. I know you agree with that.
I agree 100%, brother.
Listen, Sister Crystal, you know, she's a panther, y'all. She's a straight-up new black panther, and I know she concurred. I'm just telling y'all, we don't have no other choice. We have no other choice but fight for our liberation and our salvation. You know, if we were anywhere else in the world, Sister Crystal, you know what I mean? If we were anywhere else in the world under these kind of conditions, they would have been rose up and fought for their freedom. You know what I mean? They would have been did what they had to do. You know what I'm saying? But we the only people who had this Negro Revolution that think that we're going to be able to sing our way out of it, prayer vigil our way out of it, and do all kind of other stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like the other night, a brother was on here. He was saying, lift every voice and sing. He was like, pick up your fist and swing. Like, you know, we have to think sometimes like on the slave ship, when they decided to get up in arms and take over the ship, I mean, it wouldn't even take that many of us to take America because it's ours. It's ours for the taking, really.
Well, we got 36 seconds, and thank you for your comment, and make sure that you join us again for the next show. But like the sister say, hell, it's already yours. And so all we got to do is take back what's ours. And so, as always, we thank you all for listening and staying tuned with us. And we ask you again, and we implore you again, join us on Black Power Radio for the next show on Monday, 11 p.m. Eastern Time. We will see you black right here, and we leave as we came with Black Power.
His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by Brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.